This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's do this. Let's start another week, and it is Christian McCaffrey week. It is a three-pop of Warriors week. We got them tonight. We got them Wednesday night. We got them Friday night. So we're going to have a bunch of that. I think, look, we got some stuff we want to say about McCaffrey, but I'm gonna do what they call forward promote.
I like it.
In the business.
I love it.
Listen close. At 2:30, it is my belief that on the morning roast today, on 95.7 The Game, the most interesting, the most important comment that the Warriors organization has ever made about Jonathan Kuminga was uttered this morning to Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Okay? So we're gonna, in 15 minutes, we will play it for you. We will talk about it. It is fascinating. I think it is illuminating. It is an illumination sensation.
Not to buck.
It is. Pay two, because it's a big one, okay? We're going to talk about that coming up at 2:30. But, hey, Christian McCaffrey is on the internet running.
Yeah.
And it's pretty alluring.
And the window is open, which means they have 21 days to get him on the field and activate him. And I would guess that it happens within that 21-day window. He probably is going to play on Sunday. And I have mixed feelings about that.
You do,
because
why?
I don't think you need to rush him back. And they won't rush him back. But I also think that you can beat Tampa Bay even if Christian McCaffrey doesn't play. I think you need McCaffrey in December and January more than you need him in early November.
But can I ask you why you would constitute playing him this weekend as rushing him? It's week 10. He's been working out on the side for 6 weeks.
Right, and it's not rushing him if they think he's ready.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to have Kyle Shanahan get in a spot where he starts to use him and overuse him, and you maybe use him up in November because you've been mostly good on offense. Your running backs have not been the problem, in my opinion,
yeah,
with your offense. So, you know, go ahead and let these other guys still play a role.
But you know that, and I don't disagree with that, but you know it's not just about the running back stats. Having him on the field makes a defense sweat. They don't know where you're going. They don't know what you're doing. Your optionality doubles as far as what you can do because he's essentially a wide receiver in the backfield, and you got a running back as a wide receiver. And if you've got Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey on the field at the same time, good luck to you, defense. Defensive coordinator nightmare. And so here's where I hear you, though. I really hear you on this front. Sometimes, and Kyle Shanahan, like many of them, football coaches, and maybe just men in general, a little bit of black and white thinkers. Are you in or are you out?
Right.
And if you're in, let's go. So I hear what you're saying, which is that maybe try to find some sort of a middle ground. And actually, my guess is that they will. These are questions that Kyle will maybe sort of kind of answer throughout the week. But I would imagine just because it is his first game at football speed, you're probably not going to see 20-something touches for Christian McCaffrey. But like I said, man, if he's ready to go, get him out there. Because even if just having him on the field, your offense is so much better.
Absolutely. The decoy factor and what you can do from a multitude of formations and line him up in different spots. And I'm not so worried about Guerrero and suddenly not having his development happen. I'm more concerned with Jordan Mason and if his shoulder is going to be healthy. And if Mason still is nursing the shoulder, well, maybe you do need to lean on McCaffrey a little bit more. And I also think if the game is close, then he's going to lean on McCaffrey more than fans actually want. And I just don't think that this game is going to be that close. Ugh. You're coming off a bye. Shanahan's usually really good off a bye. And as you were mentioning, Tampa has a short week. They only have 6 days. You've got 14, so the advantages are built in for you against a team that is a little bit down, a little depleted.
I agree with your concept to a point. The other side to that, though, is you're really kind of run out of room for error. And the 49ers, I don't think that they have the ability to look at football games anymore and be like, well, we can get this one without Christian, or we can do that, and we're fine. Like, we're headed to the playoffs. Look, the Cardinals won their fifth game already yesterday. They've got the tiebreaker on you at least for the moment, and they will until the final game of the year, because you don't see them again until then, and you have to go there. And by the way, before you do that, you've got road games in Green Bay and Buffalo and Miami, and Detroit is coming to you. This is hard, and the Niners really can only afford two or three more losses. If Christian McCaffrey's ready to play, dude, clap, clap, let's go. Let's go. It is winning time. You got 9 games to go, and you got to win most of them, if not almost all of them.
Yeah, 6 of the 9 with the right 6. If you sweep your division and win just 3 other games and you wind up 10-7, you win the division, I believe. I don't think that anyone gets to 11. And if you beat the Rams and Seattle and Arizona as a part of your 6 wins, you get to 10-7, then you would hold the tiebreakers. And I can't imagine Arizona goes, 6-2 in the rest of their games?
You looked at their schedule?
Arizona?
Yeah.
No, but
I mean, remember, were they third or fourth? Like, what was their placing last year? They get a crap schedule.
Oh, I think they were fourth last year.
Like, they're 5-4, and they get to host the Jets this weekend. That is a very winnable game. In fact, I bet they'll be the favorite in that football game. And then they get a bye. And still on their schedule in the second half of the year, home games to Seattle, New England. They go on the road to Carolina. Like, I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals and going, dude, don't just assume if you get to 9 or 10 wins that you're going to be fine. You could very easily both end up, for example, 9-7 with a road date at their place to decide the division in the last game. I hear what you're saying. And obviously, Christian's health matters more than anything. But, dude, I don't think go time is 2 weeks from now or 1 week from now. It's this week.
Of course. Yep. Coming off a bye, and you've got 9 games left. And you realize that, as we were talking earlier, it's not only about winning the division. It's about getting a good placement in the playoffs seeding-wise. And for me, the big key is avoiding Detroit's half of the bracket if you can. If Detroit is going to be this good, and if they are going to be the number one seed, then in my opinion, it behooves you to be 2 or 3. Because if you're 4, then you win your first game, you're most likely going to take on Detroit, unless there's an upset.
Yep.
If the 6 or the 7 beats the 2 or the 3, which happens.
Actually, I would argue the way it's set up this year is maybe, I don't want to use the word probable, but entirely possible. You're looking at, for example, let's say the Niners ended up the 4. That 2-3, number 2 and number 3 could be like Washington and Tampa,
Atlanta. Yeah.
Or Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the team coming to town, the Green Bay Packers or something like that.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
You could, the wild card, because of Green Bay and Minnesota, you could end up in a situation where those teams are almost favored in round one of the playoffs.
But if you get to two or three, then there's no way you face Detroit in the next game. So even if you're three, there's no way that you would have to take on Detroit in that next playoff game. So that, for me, becomes as important as winning the division. And you look at these teams, Atlanta is sneaky good.
They're not bad.
Sneaky better than many people thought at 6-3. And the Commanders, say what you will about, you know, their schedule and who they've beaten, they're 7-2.
No, that's a good football team.
It is. And, you know, I think their schedule is very similar to Arizona's in that, well, now they're going to take on a Dallas team without Dak, and they just beat the New York Football Giants, and they have a last place schedule as well. So you're right about the Niners needing to make some hay to avoid being a four seed, even if they win the division.
I mean, I look at it right now, and because the Eagles at 6-2, because of the Packers and the Vikings sitting as six win teams also, I do think you look at that NFC structure right now and go, I'm willing to bet that those are your three wild card teams. Philly could catch Washington. If so, then Washington is the wild card.
Yep.
You get it. I think Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Philly, Washington, those are all playoff teams.
Agreed.
That leaves two other spots. Atlanta right now, the inside track to get the other one. That leaves one.
And that's your NFC West winner.
There's no second place in the NFC West in January. I don't believe.
I agree with you.
And so I right now see Arizona as at minimum a nine. I think that's a nine-win team. I think Arizona can get to 9-8.
Based on the remaining schedule,
there is some wiggle room for the 49ers to go 10-7 and win this thing, but it very well could end up last game of the year, and both teams are 9-7 and staring across the line of scrimmage at one another.
Well, and the Rams are still very much in the thick of it.
Of course.
Seattle's not out of it, but something about Seattle just doesn't feel quite right. They feel to me like the fourth best of the four with the fourth best quarterback in the division as well.
Interesting. I mean, it's week to week.
It is.
You know, they went to overtime. If they had won that game yesterday, we probably wouldn't feel that way. But yeah, I think all of the teams in the West have played mediocre football so far. You know, optimism certainly there for the Niners. Opportunity to be the cream of the crop. We'll see. The second half starts this weekend. We'll be all over it all week long. We're sponsored by Safeway. But here we go, okay? We're excited to jump in because I woke up this morning and I immediately heard this on the morning roast. And I'm like, well, that right there, that tells the entire story of Jonathan Kuminga's 4 years with the Warriors. It is, in my opinion, the most important and the most revealing thing that anyone within the organization has ever said about Jonathan Kuminga, who deserves a ton of credit for winning that game on Saturday night. We will play for you what was said and start talking it out next. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Smith, shot no good. Rebound Looney. Out left to Anderson. Anderson ahead to Kuminga, one-on-one. He's going to drive all the way in. Goes up and scores! He beats Smith Jr. to the rim. That's the kind of transition we have not seen in the second half from Golden State. Warriors lead 123-119. Circling up top, Kuminga. He'll get the ball. On the far side. Now attacks the rim. Fumbled it. Goes up strong with a left hand and went right over the top of Smith. And Kuminga with a couple of huge baskets. Here it's 127-121. Kuminga with 23 on 7-12 shooting.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah, JK.
Well, that means that Jonathan was celebrating his great game on Saturday through Sunday night and not watching Sunday night football because your pick stunk.
Well, that pick was an unfortunate. I mean, it was there for the having.
Trying to tell you, it was the Vikings were. It was their night. It was they'd lost two in a row. It was time to get a win.
I had points and I had a couple of drops and Flacco threw a couple of hospital balls. It was like, oh
God!
I mean,
he almost killed Michael Pittman.
That one of them was to Pittman. It's like if I throw this and he catches it, it's a really good throw. But if I throw it, he may wind up in the morgue.
This is one of those games where I just felt mean, and I didn't want to talk about it at all because the internet was alive with, well, Anthony Richardson can do that. And I was like,
can
actually,
he?
No, he right. can't. His balls are so far over the receiver's head, they're not hospital balls. They literally miss. They miss everything. So I felt just mean. I'm like, the Colts are, yeah, they're not in a great spot as far as the quarterback position. Flacco's a nice story as a backup quarterback the last 2 years, but anywho.
He took sacks on like 7 straight plays. Throw the ball, dude.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Especially if you are going against the Minnesota defense in fantasy. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Oh, wow.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, bygones be bygones. That's the end of that. Let's get to this because we both think this is super interesting. And leave it to Ron Adams, of all people, to show up with the big hammer. When the hell has that ever happened before? Ron Adams.
Yeah, he speaks the truth, though. If you ask him a question, he's going to tell you the truth. He's been around long enough to not have to bullshit anymore. Shout out Casey.
Very good.
Yep.
Warrior fans, stop what you're doing because he's about to ruin. This is absolute must listen. And you know what's really fun? Go back on YouTube and watch Bonte and Joe when he says it. Because both of them get the visual of Bonte and Joe when Adam says what he's about to say or we're about to play for you. They both sit up straight in their chair. They look at each other with that like, oh, that look. And then they start waving their arms because they're trying to get the producers, Spadoni and Lubman or whoever was here this morning, cut that, cut that, cut that. It's that interesting. And this tells not just the story of Saturday, not just the story of now, the story of the last 4 years of Jonathan Kuminga. So if you are a Warrior fan, I want you to listen very closely to this. What Ron Adams has to say about Jonathan Kuminga's performance on Saturday night, which was so epic in the overtime victory. Here it is.
He scored meaningful points down the stretch, but I think more than that, and I told him this, I thought it was his best game ever as a Warrior. And I say that because I thought he played every possession locked in with great effort. And I'm talking both sides of the ball. And this is what he's capable of doing. I think sometimes, let me just back up a little bit. Several seasons ago when he was having trouble scoring, figuring out the scoring part of it, he was really playing some good defense for us. If you remember, we were putting him on, in some cases, in any given game, the best player on the other squad. And he was responding well. His energy was good. Then he started scoring, and with a lot of younger players in the league, they forget about defense a little bit. And now we're back in approaching a really good balance. And if he can continue to do this and understand, above all else, just the nature of this league. Look, a basic fundamental in this league, the basic fundamental, I might add, is playing a game at an NBA level, playing a game with great intensity and aggressiveness. And this is why I was just elated for him and the game he played the other night in Houston, because I thought that game exemplified both of those characteristics.
I cannot say enough about this.
Yeah, Ron Adams, keeping it a buck. He's not going to give praise unless praise is deserved.
And praise is deserved,
yeah.
But so's the story of where we've been.
Right? Well, we've all seen it, right? I mean,
have we?
Well, we've all seen it as people watching from our couch. And if we've seen it, they've seen it 100 times
more. I'd argue that so many people watch them from their couch don't see it. They look at a box score and they go, Kuminga can score 21. Steve Kerr hates young people. and they put a sign in their lawn. Vote for someone other than Steve Kerr. He hates young people. Ron Adams right here is both doing two things at the same time. He is telling you that Jonathan Kuminga was phenomenal on Saturday night and deserves all kinds of credit for how he's reacting to the last 3 games, when I will not use the word benched, when they removed him from a starting position.
Right.
Okay? He's telling you how much credit Jonathan Kuminga deserves. And not just because we like the fact that he's put the ball in the bucket some, but that he is being an all-around NBA level, what he's capable of, both sides of the floor basketball player. But he also lets you know in there that once Jonathan started scoring buckets last year, when he basically talked his way into the starting lineup, that he forgot about the other end of the floor. Go back to the playoffs the year before that against the Kings.
He was unplayable.
He was unplayable because he's watching people get rebounds in front of him. And I feel like a lot of the fan base sat there and went, but he's a high flyer and he can score. Right. But like any coach or teacher who uses different rules for different people because they're like, my man, I see more in you. You can be all of these things. You've got to go do that. You got to go fulfill your potential. And so I am like Ron. I am thrilled with what we're seeing so far this year from Jonathan Kuminga. But I also thought that that was the most revealing thing I've ever heard anyone in the organization say about Jonathan, because it also told us what has happened the last few years.
Right, without calling him out.
Yeah, of
it
course.
Was just pointing out what we've all seen, which is at times Jonathan Kuminga hasn't seemed to be super interested in the other end of the floor playing the defense. And we talk a lot about plus minus and it being a small sample in one game, but you look at that game Saturday and he was a plus 18, a team high, plus 18. And when you have a 31-point lead, everybody, for the most part, over that stretch was going to be plus, but then the third quarter when it went south, a lot of that was not during times when he was out there, and then he did kind of rescue him in overtime with two really, really good buckets, one going to his left, a step back, and the other one where he got to the cup and finished, and he was the one in the overtime. Pods had fouled out.
Yep.
Draymond was gone. And you look at that finishing five, and we may never see that five again. You had, I mean, Lindy Waters was out there. You had Kavon, who was out there. And I believe Buddy Hield was still a part of that finishing lineup. And it was just kind of an odd group of five, and yet he was the guy who came in and took over in the overtime.
Man, they missed 18 free throws in this basketball game.
That's wild.
That's an unbelievable number.
It's more unbelievable that they shot 50.
50.
The Warriors shot 50 free throws. That's normally a month for this team. They just don't get to the foul line, and yet...
No.
And, you know, maybe...
And they fouled the other team a lot, and they did not. The Rockets did not shoot half as many as they shot.
I mean, almost everybody got to the line. And
yeah.
Wiggins shot 10, and Kuminga shot 10, and it was really the others. Draymond, 5 of 9, uncharacteristically poor. He's usually better than that.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, man. This has been an inspirational start to the season, I think.
Sure. 5-1.
I mean, 5-1. You blow a 31-point lead. You still win. You've done half the season without Steph. You know what I mean? Like, look at all these different sort of boxes, I guess, that have already been checked with the way they're going about it. And I would argue the number one box to be checked, it appears through getting moved to off the bench or whatever, that Jonathan Kuminga and the coaching staff right now, they sound like they're on the same page. I don't know that I've ever felt that way before.
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense that you keep him there no matter who comes back or when they come back. And if Steph is able to go, we should find out here in the next 15 minutes or so. I saw that he was game time and he was warming up. So I would bet that he will be in there and he will go. But you look at Kuminga, the last three games, he's been spectacular. He scored 17, 16, and then he had the 23 in the Saturday game, which is... You know, averaging about 19 a game coming off the bench. His minutes are up. His efficiency is up. Everything is arrow up with him coming off the bench. So I don't know why you would want to change up what's working and put him in the lineup.
I mean, you were the one that pointed out right when the news broke, when we were out there on the plaza talking to Zaza on the plaza.
That's right.
And that breaking news hit that Jonathan Kuminga was not going to start that night. And you immediately pointed out, you're like, well, this is about shooting and the unavailability of Steph Curry. And Draymond Green talked about that on his podcast over the weekend. He's like, it had nothing to do with like a punishment. It had to do with the fact I love what Draymond said. He goes, it's actually more about me. He goes, it's about me because Steph's not out there and I'm not a great shooter. So we can't put how much like not great shooting can we put on the floor at one time. So we moved Jonathan to the bench and he plays the same number of minutes for a different role, and he's been looking really good. But if Steph's back, do you rewind to the way you were doing it when Steph was in before, which was Jonathan in the starting lineup?
You might, but it depends on Wiggins, who's also a game-time decision after Saturday's game. So if you have Wiggins and Steph and you have everybody available, do you revert to your opening night lineup, which is Kuminga and Wiggins and Draymond and Steph and TJD?
Which was not having great starts to basketball games, by the way.
No.
Small sample.
Even though you won by 36 and 41 in your first two games, you had holes that you dug in both of those games.
I mean, that Portland game, which was the opening night game, they won by, 36
points?
They won by 36. You're closing in on halftime. They were barely ahead.
Yeah.
They barely were leading at all. And they were behind in the first 6 minutes of that basketball game. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I am thinking that it's likely that Steph will play tonight. The arc of the way this thing, and by the way, I can also tell you, earlier today in Washington, there was an optional shoot-around. Steph participated.
Right, right. That tells me...
I'm assuming he'll play.
Right, and that tells me that he wasn't, you know, fighting to get last-minute treatment to make sure that he could maybe give it a go. If he was out there for the optional shoot-around, that tells me he's ramping up and trying to get the ankle loose and comfortable, and that... I would bet that he does go tonight, taking on the Jordan Pools.
The Jordan Pools.
The Pools. And interesting note about Washington is they had to travel much further to get to this home game than the Warriors did, coming from just Houston. They played in Mexico City on Saturday night against the Heat.
They did?
They lost to the Heat in Mexico City. And director of sports and travel, Lucas Alexander, and I were poking it around about pre-show today, and we were just, how far is that flight? And turns out Mexico City, further east than you think. It's actually directly below Houston.
Right, okay, so yes.
It's a four-hour flight, but
Mexico,
Washington...
It swings.
Mexico, that thing goes... That thing's pretty wide.
Mexico City is not in Baja, California.
Correct. Yeah. It's, you know, much more straight down from Texas, but it's only a four-hour flight, but still, Washington played Miami in Mexico City before traveling back home to then play tonight against the Dubs.
Jordan Poole is shooting over 50% from three so far this year.
Yeah. Jordan Poole greater than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson. Klay has cooled off considerably.
Cooled off. Yeah.
And just pointing that out. Dallas plays tonight.
What did he score the other night? Nine?
Yeah.
He scored nine?
Yeah. Well, it was a blowout, so they didn't really need him for much in the second half. I think he only played 25 minutes.
Okay.
Or so.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Dallas plays tonight because everybody plays tonight.
Right. Is Klay night a week from tomorrow? Do I have that right? Ooh. That's sexy.
That is. A week from tomorrow. Okay, so the 12th.
Mark it down.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go and get a sitter for that one. I'm going to have to get out there for that one.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be out there for that one.
Are we doing it out there, Lucas? We are? Good. Let's go to the game.
I love it. Director of remotes.
Yeah.
Lucas Alexander.
He's nodding, but I did not know for sure if he actually knows what he's talking about. Like, are we actually out there for sure?
The plan is yes. I don't think anything's locked in yet, but we should be there.
Okay. All right. He gave me a hard yes, like it's done.
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, I have no idea, but the plan is. So, anyway.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Yeah, I got it right here from Mark Stein, the Stein line. Stephen Curry is now expected to make his return to the lineup tonight in Washington after missing Golden State's past three games. League sources tell at the Stein line. Mark Stein with it. Steph Curry. Curry! Gonna play, Mark. It's exciting.
See, and I was over here. I know I was over here like staring at Slates. I was on Slates' Twitter. And I'm just like, Slate's going to have it. Let's go. Stein beat him to the punch. Now, Slates did just 4 seconds ago, although I say that now after it took 12 seconds to say it. So it's been about 16 seconds, Slates. Steph Curry will play in D.C. tonight, returns after a three-game absence.
Let's do this.
All right, so we expected it, and then 3 minutes later, it became reality.
Yep.
Steph is in, and so now that's the next tweet we're waiting for, right? Does Kuminga return to the starting lineup? What would you do? Because, again, the Warriors have said the reason we took him out is because no Steph. But now it's also working, and so you blend in the vibe of like, well, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it, right? I feel like he stays coming off of the bench. And, again, who cares? I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. If he's going to play his 28 minutes or whatever, who cares? I don't care. Keep playing well. But it'll be interesting. It'd be interesting to see the way the coaching staff decides to play it.
And I wonder who that would be, who would replace him, if it's Steph and Draymond and Wiggins, assuming Wiggins is in. I haven't seen a report that he's not. And TJD, who's your fifth? Do you go to
Pods?
Yeah, you go to Pods. You go to Kyle Anderson, who's coming off a good late game against Houston.
Moody's been starting.
Yep.
So maybe it'll be like that. Would be my guess. If I had to predict, I'm gonna go Steph, Moody, Wiggins, Draymond, and TJD.
Yeah, that's a good prediction.
That'll be my prediction.
Yeah, and we'll find out during Warriors Live that you and I will preside over.
Yes, we will.
At 3:45 or 3:15, 2:45. So we'll lock that in.
Apparently, this is just a rumor. It's kind of like us being out at the game next Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's reported, but not confirmed. Also reported, but not confirmed, potential special guest live from D.C., who all of you know very, 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 very well.
Very, 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 very well?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You listen to this station, you know this person very well.
Okay. That's a tease.
We're working on it. We're working on it. I'll just tell you this. To circle back to what we were saying after the Ron Adams comment, which actually I kind of feel like I'd like to play it again.
Do it.
For those of you who just joined. But because I think it's the most important thing the organization's ever said publicly about Jonathan Kuminga. I love this. To me, 5-1, three of them without Steph, that's all wonderful. There's nothing better that can happen to the Warriors organization this year than this, which is that JK is accepting of his role and playing his rear end off both ends of the floor. And the organization can kind of, I hope, explain to the fan base what they've been seeing and thinking and doing. You know, so maybe we can get JK to play really well consistently and also get rid of this idea that the coaching staff hates him or that they're trying to hold him down or something ridiculous like that, which we tend to hear a lot of. Hear it again. Rod Adams on the morning roast today saying that this was Jonathan Kuminga's best ever game as a Warrior.
He scored meaningful points down the stretch, but I think more than that, and I told him this, I thought it was his best game ever as a Warrior. And I say that because I thought he played every possession locked in with great effort. And I'm talking both sides of the ball. And this is what he's capable of doing. I think sometimes, let me just back up a little bit. Several seasons ago when he was having trouble scoring, figuring out the scoring part of it, he was really playing some good defense for us. If you remember, we were putting him on, in some cases, in any given game, the best player on the other squad. And he was responding well. His energy was good. Then he started scoring, and with a lot of younger players in the league, they forget about defense a little bit. And now we're back in approaching a really good balance. And if he can continue to do this and understand, above all else, just the nature of this league. Look, a basic fundamental in this league, the basic fundamental, I might add, is playing a game at an NBA level, playing a game with great intensity and aggressiveness. And this is why I was just elated for him and the game he played the other night in Houston, because I thought that game exemplified both of those characteristics.
Oof, there it is. I think that is so big. His best ever game as a Warrior. This is what he's capable of. When he started scoring points, he forgot about defense for a little while, but now he's remembered, and he deserves a ton of credit, especially for this last week, where Shams Charania is like, benched! And he's like, watch this.
Totally.
Relax.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Benched, but minutes up. He plays his season high in minutes after being benched. That doesn't quite make sense, but you see him play and you watch the game and you do see that enthusiasm on both ends of the floor, and it makes you wonder just how great he can be. When he plays like that, and he hit, I think, two of his three-pointers as well, he had a couple of great catch-and-shoots. He's finishing with both hands, both sides of the rim. And then on defense, he is authoritative, and he's interested. And it just makes you wonder what a 22-year-old can still become in the association.
Yeah, well, and I wonder this. You know, we spent last week, we ended the week with that report out of, was it Bleacher Report? No, it was Hollinger and who's my other guy?
Geltziler.
Amick, thank you. Sam Amick. It was Hollinger and Sam Amick who wrote the piece that said, other GMs say the Warriors have never been more willing.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
To include Jonathan Kuminga in a deal. Well, we're fans. We're reactive, right? How's that hit you now?
It hits me as even more true.
Really?
They're building up the value of this guy.
You don't want to just keep him? He's 22.
Oh, you'd love to keep him. Okay. But at the same time, between now and February, and I said this last week, you're going to have a lot of this. And the Ron Adams just happens to be true, and it's coming off a game where he showed it. But I would bet that you're going to see and hear a lot more isn't he great talk as his value continues to go up.
Maybe,
and up.
But what if he actually is? What if he does this consistently?
Well, then,
what if he's giving you 22 a night off of the bench and being a closer?
Then you better be ready to keep him and pay him $40 million a year.
Exactly.
It's the same thing as Brock Purdy. Brock got to that point where he's a $60 million guy now, and you got to have him, so now he's going to get paid.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're moving into Warriors Live in about 20 minutes, but we got some time for some phone calls here if you want to weigh on in. 888-957-9570. Now that you've seen these three off-the-bench games from Jonathan Kuminga all good, are you still kind of on that tip of like, yeah, he's a tradable piece? Or are you thinking, you know what, we better just wrap our arms around this guy and pay him? Too early for final decisions, but how do you feel in this moment? We'll take some calls next. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
You know who that is, don't you?
Jeff!
You know what he does, right?
He plays basketball tonight.
You know what else he does?
Golfs.
He starts.
Oh, yeah.
He starts.
Oh, you got the lineup.
No. They said that he's in the lineup. Mark Stein, like, read the tweet. It wasn't just he's playing. He said he's in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't know if Steve has released the lineup, but...
Steve?
Mark is...
Did
Steve
we lose
Reluzia?
You?
I think Mark Stein is probably playing the percentages. The chef is almost always in the lineup.
Yeah, he's starting. I'd be like, that would be a crazy little twist if we find out. Yeah, he's targeting about 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Off of the bench. We're going to use him in the third quarter.
When you miss games like that, you got to go to the bottom of the pecking order and work your way back into earning minutes.
Oh, sorry. Kareth Burke, per Steve Kerr, Steph will play and will start.
There you go.
Is that more definitive?
KB.
There it is.
Who else will play and start?
He politely declined to name the other four.
He always politely declines.
No, he usually, I mean, like, well, we're going to, look, the game starts in an hour and 12 minutes, so.
Right.
We're going to know soon enough.
But, we will.
We don't know yet.
We don't. And I don't think you have to submit your actual lineup until there's like 10 or 15 minutes before tip.
Yeah, I don't know.
They always do.
You got to get the name over to the yelling person so they can get all the,
exactly.
the pronouncers right, right? You got to go do that. So anyway, yeah, we'll know soon. And Willard and Dibs will have Warriors Live for you starting in just about 10 minutes. And a very special guest has been confirmed.
I love that.
Confirmed.
I look forward to this one.
Yeah, this will be fun. It'll be fun, no question about it. But some of y'all want to talk Kuminga. Ron Adams came on the morning roast and said that was on Saturday night Jonathan Kuminga's best game as a Warrior. And I told him that because he seems to be getting back to playing balanced basketball, NBA level, up to his potential, both ends of the floor. Admitted that when Jonathan started scoring buckets last year, he, quote, forgot about the defensive end for a little while. So I thought just a wonderful statement of both support for Jonathan Kuminga, but also a window into what has been going on inside the organization that has led to the decisions they've made.
Right, and you've seen it over the past years where he kind of fell out of favor 2 years ago, and then last year, great on offense, and at times he looked a little lost on defense, and then you see the game from Saturday night, and it's a game where they absolutely needed him to play that well, and I'm just glancing at his career plus minus individual games, and he's never been plus 18 in a game that was actually close and contested.
Really?
2 years ago, he was a plus 35 against Portland. They won by 56.
Okay.
you kind of see the pattern.
I get the pattern.
There was a game he was plus 21. They lost to Dallas by 3. So that was a game where he was significantly important. He had 14 points, but they lost the game. So this game on Saturday was special.
Yeah, the game against Portland last year where he sort of came in and saved the day. Remember, they were like, I don't know, they were messing around, and they were just not pulling away, and Jonathan kind of had actually been benched, like the real kind of bench, like not using him. And then they brought him in, and he took over in the second half, and they won the basketball game. Do you see the one that I'm talking about?
I think it was
in Portland.
Yeah, and I think in Portland. I see one where he played just 16 minutes, and I remember that might have been the game because he came in and he never went out again.
Yeah. Is that it?
And they ended up beating Portland by 4.
And what was his plus minus?
He was, in that game, he was a plus, he was a plus 13.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah,
that's pretty good for only playing 16 minutes.
Right. And they ended up, winning that game by 4.
Yeah.
And, yeah, in the first half, he did not play. So that's the game you're talking about where he came in with 4:40 to go in the third. And played the rest of the game.
And won them the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the phones, okay? 888-957-9570. How about Spencer in Walnut Creek? Hi, Spencer. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, folks. I'm doing my daily here. I listen to you guys while I work out, and I love it. So thank you for doing what you do. You keep me entertained while going through heck here in the gym. And I just want to say about Jonathan Kuminga, shout out to normal progression. I mean, the kid's 22.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you ask me to do, like, I equate it, you know, to like buying a car. If I'm 18 years old and I have, you know, the speed and the sexiness of a Ferrari or like the utility and capability of like, you know, a really nice four-wheel drive SUV, I'm clearly going to choose the Ferrari, but you know, maybe 4 or 5 years later in my life, maybe I'm married, maybe I've got a kid, and you know, I see the utility elsewhere, and I start, you know, thinking full circle. Same thing with like anybody in their job. I mean, I'm sure you guys have had growth in your careers as radio hosts, and you know, being able to speak to people a certain way and have your voice heard a certain way, and you know, be respected in your game. And so I just think there's just been a lot of growth there that I don't think people give him credit for. I think he's still going to have really rough spots. I think he's still 22.
And you're probably right.
The only thing I will say, and I don't fault Steve Kerr for this. I really don't, because I understand the organization had, you know, very specific goals, and we've got Steph, and we had Clay, and we've got Dre, and we're really trying to maximize their careers. But had Kuminga been able to go through some of these growing pains with a little bit more playing time earlier in his career, I think the progression might have come quicker than it has, and now we've got a tough decision to make. Are we going to pay this guy, you know, $200 million or let somebody else swoop him?
Right.
Come in this offseason.
Yeah, Spencer, let us jump in because we're up against it a little bit. Thank you very much for the call, but you're right. It is a tough decision that doesn't need to be made yet.
No.
And that's, I think, why games like Saturday are so interesting. We mentioned this last week. Like, he's in that spot where almost every game is going to move the opinion needle.
Right, and this is the best thing that the Warriors can hope for.
Totally.
Having him play great, and if you get to the deadline and you think that maybe you can get a lot by trading him, then maybe you do it. If not, you have a really good player who you can then pay in the offseason.
And he's right also with, like, this is just natural. It's natural progression.
Yeah.
It's nothing to get upset about. Unless you want it. You want to get upset at the coaching staff and decide that they don't like the players that they drafted and will be complimented if play well. Okay, you can do that. You know, that is the other sort of side point for me that comes out of this, is that the Warrior coaches, they don't always make the right decision, but I'm pretty sure they have reasons for the decisions they make.
Yeah.
It's no different than Kyle Shanahan with Trey Lance. We'll fade here in like 1 minute, but let's go to Jonathan in Foster City. Shout out to FC. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I agree with a lot with that last caller said. It's clear the front office has been trying to play the two timelines and figure this whole thing out, and we're in the best case scenario, but it really comes down to a third party named Jeff Austin on what happens. Do you guys know who Jeff Austin is?
Is that his agent?
Nope, he is an agent. He is the agent of Steph Curry and the agent of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Ooh, look at you. Chess, not checkers.
That is a powerful man. So as things unfold in Milwaukee and Kuminga continues to play like he plays, Jeff Austin is going to be a very interesting name to consider as things progress.
Ooh, that is interesting. Thank you, Jonathan. That is pretty interesting.
Jeff Austin represents only two players in the NBA.
And their names are?
Steph and Giannis. I mean, why?
Damn.
Why rep
you want to talk about
else? Efficiency.
He doesn't even represent Giannis' brother?
Not a one of them.
What's that guy's name?
There's a bunch of them. There's Thanasis.
Thanasis? Is that guy going to be a Warrior if Giannis is?
Costas.
Bob Costas. Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
There's four of them, I think, in the association.
Alex? That's one.
Sure.
It is?
Don't know if he made it.
Yeah, no, you can't just have a bunch of really exotic fun names and then name someone Alex.
Jim. Hi, Jim Antetokounmpo here.
Giannis, Thanasis, Bob.
Totally.
Like, what? Let's fade the Devers for crying out loud.
It's time for
Fade the Devers.
Please explain.
Nostra Tiblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Monday night football, and Dibs is not hot.
No.
He lost on Sunday night football.
Boy.
Two games under 500. That's where we like him because that's where we make money. Let's find out about tonight. The number on the move, the Chiefs, -9.5.
Yeah, they say you can't win them all, but the Chiefs certainly have. They haven't lost in 315 days outright. That was Christmas.
Good Lord.
Against the Raiders. The last time the Chiefs lost, but...
That's a crazy thought.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes, 22-28 against the spread all time when he's favored by 7 or more points. Losing record.
Oh.
The number's on the move. The money's coming in on Tampa. The pick has been in since last Wednesday. I like the Bucks. Give me Tampa and the 9.5. Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
You have to hit the thing or else no one knows why he's making noises.
It
just thank you. Sounds like a man just making thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And I started one of those Tampa receivers who actually isn't hurt.
Will you throw the break while I go to my gambling account?
Are you going to fade the Diver?
Put all kinds of money on the Chiefs.
You won't.
I might not. I got to think about it.
9.5's a boatload.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, I got Jalen McMillan in my lineup.
Oh, that's exciting for you.
And he's questionable.
Chiefs have a very, very good defense. Have a good time. We're sponsored by In at the Tides.
Ooh, it's back.
Oh, the beloved Bayview Restaurant Lounge at In at the Tides is now accepting reservations. You know what those are? They're reservation sensations for Thanksgiving. Delight in a classic turkey dinner or chef's special like surf and turf, prime rib, or pan-seared filet-o-salmon. Reservations at InAtTheTides.com. Warriors Live next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.